Now, at the moment, as our Impact as family, we've been going through a season where we are believing for the impossible. We are believing for breakthrough. And so therefore, we need to have faith for the impossible. As an Impact as community, our global community around the world, we prayed our novena for 9 days. And during our 9-day novena, it consisted of prayers for things that seem impossible. It's a big vision. I don't know about you, but every day when I was praying it and we prayed for the different areas, I was just like, whoa, like there's just so much more detail to this every time I was praying. And some of the things we prayed for were we prayed for people, we prayed for buildings, we prayed for global vision, we prayed for people to come alongside us, we prayed for wisdom to steward growth, we prayed for global proclamation. We prayed for expansion that's rooted in habitation in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We prayed for hospitality that would welcome His welcome, that would reflect rather His welcome. We prayed for multiplication of leaders. We prayed for provision across the different nations. We prayed that God would give us staff. We prayed that God would give us land. We prayed that God would give us buildings in different places. And the list goes on. There were just so many things that we prayed for. And we prayed for the impossible. We prayed for the humanly impossible, things that we can't do ourselves. And so last week, Bruce spoke about faith for the impossible, that if we are believing in this vision that God has given us, that we need to have faith that it will come to pass, that God will do what He says He will do. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when vision is so big, I find it hard to get my head around it. If we think about our own lives, do you have a vision for your own life? Do you have a dream that you believe is where you should be heading, that God's placed on your life? Do you have a call for your life, a way that you maybe want to build your family, the home that you want to have? Because God puts all of these dreams in our hearts. He puts these visions in our hearts that He wants us to achieve. But sometimes they just seem impossible. We look at where we are now and we look at what that dream is, that vision, and we go, how am I going to get there? It seems too far off. But that's why we need to have faith for the impossible. And Bruce shared about that's where faith starts. When we reach our limit, when we think, you know, I can't do this. I need you, God. That's when we turn to God. That's where we need to have faith. Now, as an impactor, for us, faith for the impossible comes from our relationship with Jesus. It comes from that ever-deepening relationship that we have and that we build. And then Bruce spoke about we need to name the impossible. We need to name the vision, and that's what our novena is. It's all written down there, naming the vision. But can I ask you, have you named the impossible for your own life? Have you written that down? Maybe that's not physically, but maybe it's just going through it in your mind. Have you named it? Have you written it down? And the reason we need to write down our vision is because anytime life gets hard, we need to look back to the vision. We need to remind ourselves what God spoke over our lives. That's why we write it down. That's why we name it. Once we've done that, though, once we've written it down, once we've said, you know, this is the vision for my life, this is the vision for our community, what do we do next? I'm here. The vision's over there. So what do I do next? Well, one of the reasons we've written it down is that we actually know the direction that we need to walk. We know which way we're going. We have to walk towards the vision. We have to walk towards what God's asked us to do in our life. That's one of the reasons we write it down. We also have to walk by faith towards the vision, towards the impossible. So it's not just we're walking aimlessly there. We're walking by faith in reliance and trust in God. And that's what I want to talk about today. In the meantime, as we're waiting from here to the vision, here to where God's going to fulfill His promises to us, what are we doing in the meantime? We're walking by faith. So we walk by faith towards the vision with faith for the impossible. And what that means is in our everyday lives, our normal life, we're believing that God will fulfill the promise that He's made to us. And what that means is that all our decisions, everything we do in our life, all the places we go, all the plans that we have, the way we live our life is in faithfulness to the vision. It directs everything that we do because we're believing in what God's told us. So how do we walk in faith? The first thing we need to do is we need to trust in God. We need to trust that the vision he has given us will come to pass. That it is, if it is of God, then it will happen. Many of us know the story of Abraham in the Bible, where he was promised to be the father of a great nation. He was told that you would have descendants that outnumber the stars. And it says of Abraham in Genesis 15:6, it says, "And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness." Abraham had complete trust and faith in God's promises. He believed that if God said it, then it would happen. God told Abraham the vision, and even though it seemed impossible, Abraham, who's 100 and his wife is 99, and God tells him, "You're going to have descendants that outnumber the stars." Even though it seems impossible, Abraham had faith that God would do it. And so what did Abraham do? He then walked in faith. God told him, "I want you to leave your home and I want you to go." And he didn't give Abraham any specifics. What does Abraham do? He walks in faith. He goes when he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what he knows what the end result is. So he's walking in the direction. He's walking by faith towards the vision that God has for him, but he doesn't know how to get there, but he goes. You know, when I was a little girl, I was about 11 years old, and I felt like in prayer one day, God said to me, "Emma, I want you to help people." And I remember this moment. It's one of those pivotal moments in my life. And it was just that phrase, "Emma, I want you to help people." And I remember thinking in my mind back to God, "In what, God?" And then you know what? He went silent. That's all he gave me. "Emma, I just want you to help people." And from that day, I have done everything to follow what I believe God asked of me. "Emma, I want you to help people." I don't know the detail of what that looks like, but every time I make a decision, every time I have a plan for my life, does it fulfill, "Emma, I want you to help people"? I remember being in year 8 maths, and my maths teacher said to me, "Oh, what do you want to do when you grow up?" And I said, "Oh, I want to help people." She's like, "What does that mean?" You know, like, that's not a job title, is it? But for me, that's the direction that God's called me in my life. So I walk by faith towards the vision. "Emma, I want you to help people." What is it for you? What has God placed on your heart? Now, maybe it's not a word like that, this audible voice. Maybe it's something different, this prompting, this sense of your life. You know, this is just something I just really have to do. But what is it for you? Because God will fulfill it if it's of God. And he will place those things in your heart. He will help you and guide you in the direction you need to go. But you have to walk by faith. Now, Mary, our lady, Mary, our mother, she walked by faith. She had complete trust in God. When the angel Gabriel comes to her and he tells her, you're going to be the mother of the Saviour, she says yes because of her complete trust. She completely trusted that God would fulfil his plan. And when we trust that, it means we can say yes because we fully believe and we trust in God's plan. That's when we can be obedient. And we can do that in the unexpected. We can do that when we don't have the detail in life, because we know that God is faithful. You know, in the book of Proverbs, I always love this scripture. It's in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." You know, whenever we trust in God, when we don't go to our own understanding, when we look to him for his wisdom, he always makes our paths straight. He always guides us. He always opens the right doors for us. So we can always trust. The second way that we want to walk by faith as we're walking towards the impossible and having faith in the impossible, the second way is to remember God's faithfulness. Walking in faith can be so difficult. It can be so hard to get from one spot to the next, to the end. You know, if you think about when you start, if you've ever done study and you start a university degree and you're in first year, you've got 4 or 5 years to go. You're just looking down that track going, "Whoa, I've still got ages." But when we walk by faith, God is faithful. But we can so easily forget. I know I can forget. As soon as the next challenge comes along, I forget at how good God was at my last challenge, how much he blessed me, how much he was faithful, how much he provided for me. So we need to remind ourselves of all the blessings God's given us, remind ourselves of the times that he's been faithful, which is always, remind ourselves of the times he's provided. And if you have to, write them down. I remember a few years ago when Hannah had just started school and I needed a support worker, and I'd never hired a support worker before in my life. And I remember thinking, God, you know, would you provide me with the right person? The right person who, you know, understands Hannah, gets to know her communication style, will care for her really well. And then one day at the Christmas concert at school, we're at the Christmas concert, one of her teachers comes to me and say, hey, do you need any support over the school holidays? I'd prayed for it and God provided. And you know what? Right now, she's about to finish school, which means the rest of our life for Ronan and I as parents, we're going to be relying on support workers. And so right now, what I have to do when I'm a bit nervous about finding the next support worker, and not just one, it's going to be like multiple now, you know, over her lifetime, I've got to remind myself that God was faithful the last time. And so you know what? He's going to be faithful again. God will continue to provide. We've got to remind ourselves of how faithful our God is. We've got to remind ourselves of the blessings that we've received. Remembering God's past faithfulness strengthens our faith today when we remember what he has done. And the difficulty of walking in faith is when you can't see the provision yet. It hasn't come yet. You can't see the healing in your life. You can't see what God has promised you. That's why you have to remind yourself of how faithful God is, and he always is. The next thing we have to do, if we're going to walk by faith, if we're walking towards the vision for our community and the vision that God's placed for your own life, is we need to declare God's victory in our life. We have to remind ourselves of who God is and declare it, which means speak it out loud. Sometimes I audibly will say it, God, you are so good. God, you have overcome. God, you are victorious. And I speak it into my life, again, to remind myself of who God is and who I'm living for. We declare God's victory because of Christ's victory on the cross. We remind ourselves that he has overcome. He has overcome death. You know, when I was a little girl, about 8 years old, at school at the end of term, I don't know if you did this at your school, but on the last day of term, you got to watch a movie and they would wheel out the massive TV screen, you know, this massive TV screen. They'd wheel it into the library and we'd all sit down and we'd watch a movie. And one of the movies that we watched, I was 8 years old, so I'm in year three. I was so scared by the end of this movie. Like, it petrified me. And so much so that I slept at the bottom of my mum and dad's bed for 9 months. It scared me that much. We would just get, my mum used to have all these big, big pillows on her bed. You know, some people have just lots of throw cushions, right? My parents had those, so but really big ones. So every night I would start in my own bed, but I would always make my way to mum and dad's room. And we would get these big pillows and we'd just lie them on the ground. And I did that for 9 months. And I remember one day, Mum saying to me when I was scared, she said, you know what Dad says to me every time I'm a bit nervous or a bit scared? He reminds me, God has the victory. God has the victory. And from 8 years old, I have always said, God has the victory. If you read my prayer journal, every prayer time that I finish, I say, the Lord has the victory. God has the victory. And you've got to declare it over your life. So that when you get to those challenging times in life, when things come up that you're not expecting, no, God, you have the victory. You are victorious. You know, you can say with God, I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. The battle belongs to God. You know, David, when he was fighting the giant Goliath, he says, as he's about to fight the giant, he says, this battle is the Lord's. You will be given into my hand. He already knows God's won the victory. God's asked him to do this. So any challenge that comes up against you, if God's asked you to do something, he will overcome it. You just have to rely on him. Something that stops us sometimes in life, or always which is out for us, is Satan. He's there to stop us. He's there to discourage us. In John 10:10, it says this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. This is Jesus speaking. He says, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Some versions say, I came that they may have life and have it to the full. So whenever you feel discouraged, whenever you feel a bit down, nervous, how am I going to achieve this? God, everything is up against me. You can No, you've got no way here, Satan. You have nothing in my life because I have a God who has given me life to the full. So we need to declare it over our lives. When we walk in faith and we're walking towards that vision that God's placed on our hearts for our community, for our own lives, we do that by speaking God's truth louder than our fears. That's why we declare God's victory. That's why we speak it out. Declaring God's victory shifts our focus from the struggles to God. So that's why it's a wonderful thing to do. That's why we should do it. And remind ourselves, I've just written a few things here, of like, God will never leave me. God will not forsake me. God will never abandon me. God is faithful in every season. When I am weak, God is strong. God's goodness follows me all the days of my life. You know, you can just get these types of phrases and just say them over and over again. Another thing we need to do as we're walking in faith is we need to rely on God. As we walk towards what God has for us in our lives, as we're walking towards that impossible, it's going to be hard. We're going to come up against challenges. And we have to remind ourselves that it's not for us to do in our own strength. It's not about mustering up this energy, okay, let's go again. But it's about turning our eyes to Him and relying on Him again and again and again. So often in life, I don't know if you've experienced this, but it's more so about the journey than it is actually about getting to the destination. It's what God is doing in us as we walk towards the impossible, as we are faithful. You know, I think about things like God wants to build resilience in me. So isn't He going to give me things that mean I need to be resilient? You know, God builds our character on the journey. And so we need to rely on Him because we can't do it in our own strength. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary." When we get tired, we need to turn to Him. And the truth is, we're going to get tired. We all do. So we need to rely on Him and go back to Him time and time again. Because if He has asked us to do something, then He will make it happen. So we need to turn back to Him. The next thing we need to do, if we're walking in faith, is we need to do what's before us. Do what's before you. Now, Bruce said last week, faith acts in steps, not giant leaps. Now, I think so often, I know for me, that if I got the vision that we have for our community, then it's like, well, let's just go there. Let's just do it, you know, let's just jump straight there. But so often, faith is built in just step by step by step, just small steps, not giant leaps. And so if you've been given a big vision and you're unsure of what to do next, well, just do what's in front of you. Maybe that's big, maybe that's small, but just do what's in front of you. Just because you have the vision doesn't mean you have to jump right there. But sometimes also we can't jump right there. There are other things we need to do in the meantime. You know, about 18 months ago, it probably was, I had this stirring in me, a desire to go and get a job, because for the last few years I've been particularly caring for Hannah. I've worked here as well, but I felt like I needed to get another job as well. And it's one of those things in my mind or in my life where when God speaks, those things, they just keep coming up. They don't go away. And I know Dad often calls it holy discontent. You know, everything in life is good, but there's this, oh, I just got to do the next thing, or God's calling you somewhere else. And so I had this holy discontent of God asking me to use the skills that I have for others and in a different way to what I'm doing now. And so I pursued looking for a job. And so the first thing I did was I put my resume together and I did a small little update and I put the job out. This would have been about January last year. I put out my resume and I'm like, I found this job that I was going for. I'm like, I would be great for this job. Yep, so that's why I'm applying. And I got nothing. I just got, you know, the nice rejection letter. I've had many of those. Rejection letter, sorry, we don't want you. So I'm like, okay, all right. So then I waited a few more months And then I found another job that I thought, yes, I'll be great for this job. I've got life experience. I've got skills that I could use. But okay, what happened the last time? I didn't really, my job in resume, it obviously didn't get any attention. So what I should do is I should improve it. So I went to my resume and I improved it. I explained more things about myself. I explained my skill set better and I fleshed it out a bit. And you know what? I put it in, I got an interview. I got a phone conversation and then I got a face-to-face interview. And you know what? From there, I walked down, I'm like, yes, awesome. That interview went so well. It was so good. And you know what? I didn't get the job. But then I kept praying and I kept asking God. And years ago, when I'd asked for a job that God had provided for me, like 15 years ago, I gave job my list. I mean, got job my list. I gave God my list. I gave God my list of the things that I wanted for this job. And there were things like, you know, a flexible boss, someone who's understanding of the fact that I have a child who has needs, you know, a place that's not too far from home because that's going to be easy. And so I gave God my list and I did the same thing for this job. And so I've gone for two jobs, didn't get either of them. And then I've given God my list, all of these things that I'm going to need God. So I did that for this job that I've got now. And when I woke up, on the morning, there was a particular morning I woke up and straight away I looked at my phone and I looked at the jobs that were going. And there was this particular job that's 10 minutes from home. It's casual work hours. It's exactly the skill sets that I have. And I remember waking up going, this is my job. This is it. And I put in my resume. I got an interview and I got the job. But you know, it took me over 12 months to get that job because I was walking in faith, believing that God had asked me to do this, but it wasn't a giant leap. It wasn't I just got it the next week. It was, okay, I need to improve some things. I need to improve the way I'm seen. I need to improve my conversations. I need to actually look for the right job that God has for me. You know, so when we're doing things, walking in faith, it doesn't mean a giant leap. It means do what's next. You know, when I was in year 12, we had our big year 12 was a concert hall, what's the word? Like an awards night that they have. Yeah, they have an awards night and you go to it and they usually always have a guest speaker. And the guest speaker on the night, he was amazing. And I was so inspired. And he was a lawyer and he talked about the AFL football, which I love. And he connected it to the truth. And the way that he, I can't remember the point, but I just remember footy, and the truth. And the way that he connected these things and wove them together, I was so inspired and I hadn't chosen at this point what I was going to do when I finished school. That's the reason I did law, was this guy speaking at my year 12 awards night. And so I just went, I'm so inspired. I think that will help me help people. I'm going to walk in that direction. And you know, today, I'm not a lawyer, but I have the skill set. I have knowledge. I have understanding of how to figure things out now. And it's amazing how being faithful to what I think God's asked of me, just taking one step, you know, what's the next thing I'm going to do? Well, I think I should enroll in law. That was inspiring. That will help me help people. I'm going to take the next step. I'm finishing year 12. You know, so it's just these small steps in life. And walking by faith actually looks like ordinary steps. It doesn't look like anything extraordinary half the time. It's just ordinary steps, step by step. Ordinary steps of obedience, sometimes doing the mundane. You know, the greatest threat to our faith in the impossible is the mundane. Because so much of our life will be the same. It will be on repeat. It'll be going to work every day, every week. It'll be taking the kids to school every day for certainly many years until they finish. And what kills our faith is the mundane, because we forget to see God in the everyday, in the ordinary. But the mundane is where we're walking in faith, where we're just step by step saying, God, I'm being faithful to what you've asked of me. Don't let the mundane rob you of what God has promised you. Just keep being faithful. You know, there's a movie that came out many years ago and it was called Evan Almighty, and it's actually the sequel to the first movie, which was Bruce Almighty. And if you've seen them, the actor Morgan Freeman, he plays God in both movies. And I just love it. And in the movie Evan Almighty, there's a scene that is my most favourite scene from these movies. And it's at, I think it's a bar, and this lady is sitting at the bar and she's feeling quite discouraged because her husband is Evan, and her husband has been asked by God to build this ark. And she's just sitting there thinking, what is my husband doing? You know, he's the laughing stock of the town. And she's just like, God, like, you know, what's he doing? And Morgan Freeman is the waiter at the bar. And he says, well, you know, you're looking a bit down, what's up? And she explains, well, my husband is Evan, you know, the guy building the ark. And he's like, oh, yes, I've heard of him. And he, you know, Morgan Freeman, who's God, says, can I sit down next to you? And he sits down. And she's like, you know, she says to him, she goes, my husband says that God's asked him to do this. What do I do with that? And I thought to myself, that's often what I ask. God, you've asked, what do I do with that? You've asked, well, what do I do with that? And God says this to her. He says, if someone prays for patience, do you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them an opportunity to be patient? If someone prayed for courage, does God give the courage? Or does he give them opportunities to be courageous? And he actually finishes with saying to this lady, he says, if someone prays for their family to be closer, does he give them opportunities for their family to be close? Because she had prayed at the beginning of the movie that her family would become closer. And you just see her like, whoa, you know, God has provided an opportunity for me to become closer with my family. You know, if we have faith for the impossible, we have this vision that God has given us, therefore we need to have faith. Does God not provide us in our lives opportunities for us to be faithful? You know, I know on my dad's phone for a long time, he's had these alarms that go off that say, increase my faith, increase my faith. I remember Mum saying to him when times have been hard, hey, you asked for God to increase your faith. Is he not going to give you challenges to increase your faith? But increasing our faith, remember, is not relying on our strength. Increasing our faith means we need to turn to him to rely on his strength. That's how we increase our faith. It's always about coming back to him. And then the last point I have for you today, if we want to walk by faith, with faith towards the impossible, is we just need to keep walking towards the vision. Just keep walking. And keeping on walking is doing all the things we've already talked about. It's trusting in God. It's remembering God's faithfulness. It's declaring God's victory over your life. It's relying on God, and it's doing what's before you. Just taking those ordinary steps one by one. So why don't we pray right now and let's ask God to come and be with us in our walk of faith in the everyday. Dear Lord, I thank you for the vision that you've placed before us, that you've placed before our church community. And Lord, I thank you for the vision that you've placed on each of our hearts individually. Each one of us, whether we would say it like that, each one of us has a dream, has a vision, has something that you've placed on our hearts that you would like us to achieve, Lord, for you. And Lord, I pray that as we walk towards what seems impossible, as we walk towards the vision, Lord, that we think, I just don't know how I'm going to get that done, Lord God, that we would trust in you, that we would rely on you, knowing that you are the one that will make it happen if it's of you, Lord God. I pray for strength. I pray for resilience, that you would grow this on our journey in each one of us. And Lord, I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. I thank you in advance for the vision that will be fulfilled. I thank you in advance for the wonderful things that are to come. Thank you, Lord. We ask all of this in your mighty name. Amen.